to preach today. Today we're going into the New Testament. We're going to be inside of Luke chapter 4. Give a little background to where we're at right now. Inside of Luke chapter 4, we're talking about the temptation that the devil brought to Jesus on inside of the wilderness. Right before Luke chapter 4, though, we have John baptizing Jesus and the Holy Spirit coming down, the Father sending his approval on Jesus. And then what do we see Jesus doing? We see him going into the wilderness to pray and to commune with his Father and to fast. And at this point of him being isolated away before his ministry started, the devil tries to send an attack on him to cause him to be unable to be our sacrifice and our sacrificial lamb to pay for our sins. Because if the devil could have stopped Jesus before his ministry even began, then we would lose our hope for salvation. But we know that Jesus is sinless, and he wouldn't be able to sin. And Jesus has given us a pattern inside of this chapter of which we can overcome temptation. And I see here that there were three specific areas that Jesus was tempted. I believe, first, that Jesus was tempted inside of his humanity. I see, secondly, he was tempted inside of his authority. And third, I see that he was tempted inside of his deity. And let's read our passage. It's going to be Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. And we're going to begin inside verse 1. The Bible says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And I included verse 14 and 15 inside of our passage because it shows us that even though we're tempted, we can still leave our temptation the same way that we entered our temptation. And the Bible says, And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. We see inside verse 1, Jesus was led by the Spirit to go to the wilderness. And now we see after this temptation, Jesus is now leaving inside of the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And now he begins his earthly ministry. And he's teaching, and he will call his disciples. And he will be used as our sacrifice to where our gift of salvation will be offered to us. So today I'm hoping to show us that even though temptations are going to come, and they're going to come in a wide range of different ways, some of them are going to affect us through our abilities and through like our entertainment and through our fleshly desires. And then some of them, it's going to tempt us with the authorities that are in our life. And then other times, even Christians are going to be tempted to put their self inside the place of God and think that, you know what, I know better than God, and I will live my life the way that I desire it to. And I believe here that Jesus was tempted inside all those three areas. So let's pray, and then we'll begin with the message. Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for the opportunity to preach your word today. Lord, I pray for peace of mind and for confidence, Lord, and that your word would be clearly spoken. In Jesus' name, amen. So one thing that I always struggle with, I always have struggled with while preaching, is illustrations. And at school, I just was able to take a class in homiletics, which teaches us how to preach, or at least their style of preaching, and they stress the importance of illustrations. So I got an illustration for us today. Now, I believe this will ring true in the hearts of all of us because, as my grandmother tells me all the time, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. I personally never eat breakfast, but as a child, I would eat breakfast, and even sometimes before, I haven't seen it for a while, so they still might do it. We might not buy the right cereal, but for the last 10 years or so, I haven't seen one of those little toys that they used to put inside of the box. Now, like I said, I think this will ring true for a lot of y'all because in the past, there was toys that would be put inside of the cereal boxes. And as children, many times, and myself, we would be tempted to either A, when my mom was not around, to stick my hand through the cereal and touch all the cereal just to grab that toy. Or B, if my mom was around, we would pour it inside the cereal bowl and then go and find that toy that we could have. Now, that's a pretty innocent temptation. Now, what's the food for? It's for nourishment. It's for helping give you nutrition. It's not for the toy. The toy was the prize that you would receive after finishing the cereal. But so many times as children, we would be tempted to grab that toy and get it before the time that we were supposed to. Now, Jesus, he was tempted with real and serious temptations here. And the first temptation that I like to see is the seriousness of the temptation. So we see here that Jesus is following the leadership of the Holy Spirit while going into the wilderness. He's right with God, which he was perfect, Jesus obviously was, but he was following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And he goes into the wilderness to pray and to fast for 40 days. Now, 40 days is a common theme throughout the Bible. The first mention of a 40-day time period or of a testing time period was with the flood. It rained on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And it was a time where Noah's faith would have been tested. He had believed in his God, and God had saved him, and he gave him a refuge inside of that ark. Now, the next 40 days or the next time period of 40 that I think of is Moses. For those 40 years that he was inside of the wilderness. And there, God was able to work on his heart to get him to a place where when the burning bush happened, he was willing to accept the call to go back into Egypt and to lead his people out. And here we're seeing Jesus at a time period of 40 days fasting in the wilderness. Now, the wilderness is important because the wilderness is a desolate place. There's no one else that's around there. It's a desert. It's not a place that you would go. It's a spot that you would go on purpose if there was a reason to go there. It wouldn't just be a random spot that you would come to. Jesus was there on purpose because of the Holy Spirit leading him into this wilderness. And the devil takes advantage of this fasting time of when he was weak and wearied to where he would tempt him with food. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I like to do something called intermittent fasting where I normally typically only eat once a day and I'll fast for 23 hours or I'll eat within a four-day time period, a four-hour time period. Sometimes at school, I'll even do an extended fast of maybe three or four whole days where I won't eat and for some other reasons. But I don't know about you, going without food weakens your system and it makes you tired and it makes you hungry and it makes you vulnerable. And when you go without an extended period of time, I can't imagine what Jesus would have been feeling inside of his human body after 40 days of fasting without any food. And the devil here realizes there's an opportunity for me to attack the Savior. And what does he do? He first attacks his humanity. And the Bible says inside of verse number 2, it says, "And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." We see Jesus all throughout the New Testament doing miracles. And we see Jesus doing miracles for specific purposes, for the will of the Father. It was either A, to heal someone that had accepted him by faith as a show of a sign, or it was to help people, like with the feeding of the 5,000, but it was all to bring glory for the Father. Here the devil was asking him to do a miracle to aid him personally. That was outside of the will of the Father. Because The will of the Father was for him to be there fasting for those days. And the devil comes here and he says to him, hey, why don't you turn these stones into bread? You need food and you need sustenance. Well, why don't you just take of it? So many times in our life, when we are inside of a lonely time, or we're through a hard time, like a wilderness sort of experience, that the devil will come to us and will say, hey, you know what? You were following God, but you've been doing that long enough. Why don't you do something that doesn't seem so bad? And he'll start to throw doubts of temptation to you that are against your flesh and against your, like, entertainment, or against all sorts of forms that feed our flesh and get us to sin. And the thing is, we need to be focused and we need to be dedicated to complete the task and the job that the Father has given us. I'm excited about our theme for this year for the furtherance of the gospel, because that's what our task is as our church and as believers, is to further the gospel. That's the reason why we were left here. Jesus knew the task that he had, and he was faithful to the Father and to the Holy Spirit's leading to complete that task. But the devil's going to be sending temptations our way to cause us to not complete the task that God has given us to do. So he not only tempted his humanity, he also tempted his authority. We see here, the Bible says inside of verse number 5, and the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I did quite a bit of studying on this verse. I've read after a handful of people with it. I'm not really sure exactly how he was able to be taken to a high mountain and view all the kingdoms of the world. Charles Spurgeon said he believed that this was more of a spiritual level, where he could be raised up and see all the kingdoms of the world, and it wasn't necessarily a physical mountain, but it was like a spiritual way. And this was a special temptation to our Lord, because when Christ came to earth, he left his authority and his position as ruler of all. And he came down to earth to become a servant for us, so he could become the lamb to be slain on the cross to pay for our sins. And here, the devil is tempting him with showing him the world and saying, hey, if you worship me, I will give you all of this. The thing is, Christ left that to complete the goal and the task of being our payment. And the devil was trying to tempt him to change his path, to go back and to go and send his worship from the Father to the devil. Now, throughout all of the accounts of Scripture when it came to the devil back when he was in heaven, that was the one thing that got him kicked out. It was, he desired that worship and the praise that only God the Father deserved. And he had those group of angels that ended up being cast out of heaven because they had bought into the lie that the devil told them to. And throughout all of the Scriptures, we see a common thread where the devil desires to be worshipped. And Jesus obviously didn't have any pride because he was perfect and he was God's son. But so many times inside of our lives, he's going to tempt us according to our pride. Because if Jesus would have had any sort of pride, this would have been a temptation that would have been drawn from that. The devil reminding him of what he used to have as being seated on the right hand of the Father, to then coming down to be a servant. He takes him up there and he says, hey, this would all be yours if you would just quit doing your job and start worshiping me. And the devil, he's going to tempt us, and he's going to feed on our pride that we have to say, hey, you know what? You deserve this. Or you deserve this position either inside of your home and your family and in church, at work. Where you're at right now and what God has for you is not enough. Listen to me, and the way that I'll take you will help you to succeed in the world's mind. And the devil is going to send these temptations to us, but if we're faithful to the word of God, then we'll be able to overcome these temptations. And the thing is, this temptation here, it kind of reminds me of Little League sports. Now, when you have a sporting event, you have things called referees, where they are the ones that are in charge of the field, and they're the ones that can kick people out of stadiums, or they're the ones that can kick people out of gyms, or they can stop the game, they start the game, they can remove players from the court. They're the ones that are in charge. But I've seen personally, and I've seen while playing, and I've also seen while watching some of like our kids in church, sometimes there's parents, and they will get so excited, and they will get so energized, and they will start yelling at the ref because their little six-year-old girl isn't playing the soccer game the way that they think that the call should be done, and that they should have a foul called on their little girl. And the thing is, it's a really basic and simple little thing, but they are trying to usurp the authority of the referee that is in charge of that game. Now, that specific example can happen all the time inside of our home life, inside of our churches. I'll be honest with you guys. It sometimes is difficult for me going from college to coming back here, because at school, there's not really someone that's over top of me. There's not really someone that is putting structure in my life. I'm the one that has to do that. If not, I'll get behind. I would be late for work. I wouldn't have the ability to stay on top of my work. But while I'm home, a lot of that's removed. But now I have parents that I have to submit to. And the devil will tempt me specifically with saying, hey, you know what? You used to do this back at school. You're an adult, you're this, you're that. You can do that here, but it goes against the way that my parents are leading our house. And it's wrong, it's a temptation. The same thing can happen for husbands and wives. With the headship that God has placed inside of our homes, sometimes in families, the wife will try to gain the authority over the man. And it shouldn't be something that the man should lord over and should be some tyrant, because that's not what a godly home looks like. And sometimes the man will even abuse the power inside of a home. And these are seeds of temptation that the devil are planting inside of our lives and inside of our homes that are going to tear us apart, to take us off our goal that we are focused on in reaching the world for Christ. Because if he can get inside of our homes, he can destroy our churches. If he can destroy our churches, who's going to be out there spreading the gospel? Who's going to be preaching? Who's going to be going forth and changing the world for Christ? So it's important that when authority gets placed inside of our life, and when we're inside of the will of God following the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that we don't try and usurp the authorities that God has put inside of our lives. Because the devil's really good at playing with our pride. Yeah. And he desires so much to destroy us. We heard a devotion given by Brother Christian at the men's prayer meeting on Saturday. It was really good. It was thought-provoking. It was out of 3 John or James or 1 John, 1 John chapter 3. And it was talking about how when you do what is wrong, you're building the kingdom of Satan. And when you do what is right, you build the kingdom of God. And when the devil is able to get us to bite on our pride, we're not only just stopping our outreach for God, but we're helping the kingdom of the devil. And it's so vitally important not to give way to the temptation of the devil. And we see here inside of verse number 4, the answer to how we don't give way to temptation. The Bible says that Jesus said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." The word of God is so powerful, it's so sharp, it shapes and it molds us into the people that we are, and it gives us the authority and the power to go forth and reach people. But so many times, our Bibles are left unread, and they're left there, and we don't put an emphasis on it, and then we just keep falling prey to temptation over and over, and we're sinning, and we wonder, how did we get here? And it's because we lost the power of God's word. And we got disconnected from the power source that we once were connected to, and we're once living fruitful Christian lives. And in 2024, I'm tired of being inconsistent in my life. Inconsistent with my Christianity and my devotion to Christ, and I need to be connected to the Word of God. It can't be something that I decide on a daily basis. okay, this morning I'm going to get up and read my Bible. This morning I'm going to pray. This morning I'm going to have a walk with God. No, it's something that we need and I need to have nailed down. This is what I'm going to do because this is important. And it's the most important thing for us to do. Because it's all for our task and it's all for our goal in reaching the world for Christ. Because without the word of God, we have no power. We'll just keep falling prey to temptation over and over and over again. But if we could learn to live inside of God's word, it would change everything. It would give us a passion and a desire to go forth and to do what is right. But not only did the devil tempt him according to his authority, he also tempted him according to his deity. And it's something that I believe if we get off track on who God is, then we begin to get off track on what authority we have. And then when we begin to get off track on what the authority we have, our standards and our morals will drop with our fleshly humanity desires. So I believe that this is the most key and the most vital part of this passage here, that we have to keep God at the rightful spot that he deserves to be at. And let's read this in verse 9. And I think that this is key. It's parallel. When Jesus was tempted for his authority, he was taken to a high place. When Jesus is tempted about his deity, he was taken to the temple. And the Bible says, and he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. We also hear this from the devil back inside of verse number 3. He said, if thou be the Son of God. He's questioning his deity. He's questioning truly if Jesus is the Son of God and if he is the rightful heir to heaven and that he is the one that will offer us salvation, if thou be the Son of God. And the Bible says, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angel charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And here we see the devil playing the same trick that he has done throughout many generations and throughout all time. He is twisting the words of God to make it say what he wants it to say. Now, the Bible inside of Psalms 90, this is a quote out of Psalms 91, about he shall give the angel charge over thee. And the Bible says, in thy will, or at thy will, I'm sorry. According to the will of the Father, the angels will be there to guard his feet, to guard his steps, to guard his path. So the devil here is changing the word of God to want it to say, well, you know what you said back inside of Psalms 91 about how if you do this, then the angels will do it. If it wasn't at the will of the Father, though, he's changing it to try and get us to get off our track and to get onto what he wants us to do. And he was changing the deity and the power of God. So many times inside of our lives, though, we wouldn't verbally say, hey, God doesn't matter. God is not the one that's in charge. But the way that we live our lives and the actions that we have will speak that for us. And it's sad because it seems like it happens so often inside of our world, inside of our culture, inside of our country even, that is so opposed to God and so opposed to the things of God, and they could care less about Christmas. They change it to Happy Holidays. I work at Hobby Lobby, which is a Christian business, and my boss told me, we like you to say Happy Holidays. Now, I don't know if that was a thing that Hobby Lobby sent down or if that was just personally what my boss that was above me said, but their whole desire is to take Christ out of everything and to change what he means to us and what he should mean to the world. Because the devil's whole desire is to take God and Christ out of everything so he would be ruled and he would be the ruler of this world. And the thing is, in our own lives, we live so many times not even considering what Scripture is, what the Spirit's leading would be, or how we should speak to people. There was an incident that I had. I was talking to a lady inside the grocery store a couple days ago, and it was a lady that that I knew from around here, and she was asking me to pray about something. And she just wanted a little bit of advice, and I told her, you should go talk to my dad. He knows way more than what I do. But she was just burdened down with something, and there I felt the Holy Spirit telling me, you need to say this. You need to say, I felt it like three or four different times, the Lord bringing back to my memory, you should say this. And I kept shunning the Holy Ghost. And I kept wanting, and I was trying to be nice and encouraging, but the Holy Spirit kept bringing up to my mind truth. It was something about salvation and about good works. And the Lord kept bringing back to my mind, no, it's not about works. It's about acceptance in Christ. Tell her it's about not about works, it's about acceptance in Christ for salvation. And over again, I was being kind to her, and I was like, oh no, I'm sure it's all right. Go talk to my dad. He has way more answers. Just go talk to him. And but the sad thing is, once you begin to shun the Holy Spirit, and once you begin to stop listening to what the Holy Spirit is leading us and speaking to us about, it becomes easier and easier to start to follow our own desires, put ourselves above God, and say what we want to do. And then once we get down that path, God is either going to send a circumstance in our life that will either break us, or constant reading of the Word of God, and that the Word of God that is going to shape us and to cut us into that piercing sword that will make us into the believer that we are. And it will be the thing that will change us back to putting God back in his rightful place. And it's so vitally important that we don't fall prey to temptation, because it will destroy everything that we here as Christians are on this earth for. And it's so important that when he tempts us according to our humanity, that we answer him immediately with Scripture, just how Jesus did. And then when he starts to question our authority, we remind the devil of what position he has, that he's already lost. Christ has already conquered. He rose from the dead, and he's coming back. And that his position is not important, and that the place that God has us in is the place that I want to be in. And then, when he starts to question who really is God, you take him back to the Scripture. And this is what Jesus said to him. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He reminded the devil who God was and what he was supposed to be doing and what he was not allowed to do. And he was not supposed to be tempting our God. So when the devil sends temptations and trials inside of our life and testing times, we need to be bold. We need to live inside of Scripture, and we need to help each other. We need to be a unit here in our church, and we need to go forth. Be an encouragement, because we need to reach the world for Christ. It's something that I've been burdened with here recently, and something that God has been convicting me over and over and over again. You're not doing enough. You need to get out there, and you need to do more. Every opportunity that we have, we need to be going forth for the furtherance of the gospel. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for your word, and thank you for your responses to the temptations that were given, and thank you for the clear guide that we have here in Scripture, that you are God, and that you died for us, and you loved us, and you